Oh, okay, we were holding on at the Zion Omen Olive at the two dot. We were talking about the various things that are prohibited to sell to a goy at any time, either because they're going to be used directly, specifically for Avodat Kohavim, or things that would be dangerous to sell, either weapons or elements that are used for hurting Jews. And then we talked about, of course, the din of behema and the machlokas about a behema that is broken and therefore can't be used for work. And there's no, at least according to one sheet, that there'd be no problem on Shabbos. And we talked about the sus and Becerra's famous psak of the sus, and we'll get to that today. So, says the Gemara, Galim v'sayachim, and here we talked about whether they're shleimim or shvurim, and Rabbi Yehuda was matir b'shvura. So the Bryce explains, Tanya. Rabbi Yehuda matir b'shvuram, mipnei she'ina yechola lehitrapot v'lechiyot. Once it's broken, it's not going to be used for carrying load. So what are they going to do with it? They'll use it for shchita, basically. And if they're going to use it for shchita, it's not going to be there for a long time, because there's no profit in keeping it around. Since there's no profit in keeping it around, there's no basis for making an additional takana, which we haven't discussed yet. Because we talked about only the actual chashash that maybe will give something for a trial ride, asmacham, or she'ela, and sechirut in terms of using a behemoth Yisrael on Shabbos, which is an Yisrael Shvitat behemto. But lemaisa, even cases such as this, you could think that there would be a gezerah. In fact, according to the chachamim, it's all one gezer. We answer all types of animals. Because lemaisa, let's say somebody sees an animal that you had sold, and it's sitting around in the guy's house. Now he sees right now the guy can't use it for work because it's got a broken leg and there's no way it's going to ever carry a burden again. But in his mind, you've sold an animal to a guy. He doesn't know that the broken leg happened before. And so it becomes real fake. The entire gezerah, people say, well, so-and-so, I mean, a rabbi, he sold a behemoth to a guy, apparently it's okay. So therefore, you would think that, as the Chachamim say, it should be just a blanket isur. Taina's Rabbi Yehuda, that in a case such as this, where you're selling something that is broken, it's clear that the purpose is only for shchita. And if it's only for shchita, it's not going to be lichyot. Lichyot is not the pshat. Any of Allah ta'apot, but lichyot is dying. It can't live because someone's going to eat it. That's the point. It's not going to be lying around in the house. And therefore, it's not people, we don't make a gezerah under such circumstances. It's unlikely that people are going to be seeing this over any period of time. Rulon. So they said to Rav Yehuda, well, that's all very nice, but there are other uses for animals, namely reproduction. Why can't we use this animal, if it's a male, as a stud, or use it as a female for giving birth to? Valomar bi'ina leha violeta. It could still give birth, couldn't it? The kivan de mar bi'ina leha violeta atu l'shehuya. It may well be that the person will leave it around and didn't buy it only to eat. I mean, just because it has a broken leg doesn't mean that it's not a very high quality animal. Maybe a high pedigree animal. Omar lahem, sir, have you to answer them? No, likishetele. We'll worry about that when it has a child. Alma lo mekabelet zachar. So you see that Rabbi Yehuda holds that in a position where an animal is disabled, then it also is disabled reproductively. Probably, you know, it's just a mechanism to see, because it won't be able to care for its child anyway. So it no longer will accept a male. Ben b'teira, matiris. Now ben b'teira, we saw in the Mishnah, says, we had this earlier as well, he says it's okay to sell a sus. And the explanation that Rashi gave was the original explanation in the Gemara and the Makor in Shabbos, which is that a sus is used mostly for carrying people. And therefore, since a chai no seyat atzmo, there's no problem. Because even if the guy would use this sus on Shabbat, there would be no real issue of shvitat behemto. Because just like a person who carries another person is not going to be chayiv, an animal who carries a person who distributes his weight is not going to be chayiv. Now, it's interesting that in Shabbos, as Tosis points out in the Mishnah, Rashi really jumped the gun over here a little bit, because what Rashi said was only the Gemara's initial understanding of Ben Mater. But in the end, the Gemara shows, well, obviously the Chachamim would have to agree to that, wouldn't they? Well, they're going to make like a gzeira after the calf, they're going to do what, something that's a drabonah, that an animal is going to do a shvisa drabonah. So therefore the Gemara comes out that even though it's true that Achai no seyat atzmo in terms of human, it is not true that Achai no seyat atzmo in terms of animals, meaning that a person would oftentimes they would use their horses to go out hunting and they would go falconing, and they would put the birds on the horse. So even though the human is carried in a way that he balances himself, the Rabbanan argue with them to say, and they hold that's not true about animal life. It doesn't balance itself when it's carried. It's not normally carried. And so Mamela, they held that there's just as much gezeira for a horse as it would be for anything else. Because even if it's carrying a hunter, it would be carrying also other animals along with them. Now, so the truth is that there are some things that we have a couple of different levels of this machlokas, and we'll see that there's other issues. We already discussed this in the Mishnah. Let's take a look now in the Brice itself. So Ben Betera Matir Besus, Ben Neshu Osebo Melacha, Shein Chayavin Alea Chatat, in carrying a human being, a horse is not going to be over on any kind of malacha anyway on Shabbos. Therefore, how can we make a takana for the problem of Shvitat v'Amtsof? Whereas Rebbe, Osem Mipnei Shnei Dvarim. Rebbe says no, there's still two other problems. First of all, Echad Mishum Torat Klei Zayin. The first problem is, you're not allowed to sell weapons in the Mishnah, correct? That was one of the other things. Now, a horse is a weapon, because Lamaisa is also trained to swipe, or to jump on fallen riders in a war, and therefore it's used basically as weaponry.
Horse.
The horse. A horse that is used for war purposes was well trained to participate.
So, the horse won't step on.
Yeah, but you can train a horse. Yeah. The Echad Mishum Torat Behima Gasa. And the other one is, this doesn't seem to make any sense, the other issue is the ruling about sales of a Behima Gasa. Says the Gemara, what does that supposed to mean? Bishlema Torat Klei Zayin, I understand why you're saying that there's a weaponry problem, because it can be trained to kill with a swipe. But Torat Behima Gasa, what are you referring to? That's what we've been discussing, is Torat Behima Gasa. And I thought we agreed that there's no problem with Behima Gasa of doing malach on Shabbos because it carries people. So what's the iser? Omar Rabbi Yochanan, there's still an iser that Rabbi holds up, which is namely the kishiyaskin. Once this horse becomes too old to participate in riding, matchino berechaim b'shabbat, it's often used, the horse is often used when it's old, to tie down to a grinder, a millstone of some kind. And there, it's going to be doing real malach on Shabbos. You are chayavatasan, and there we have our problem of shvitat be'emat Yisrael. So even though right now there's no problem, but we can't allow you to possibly come to rent out an animal long term. You'll make a lease, and it'll end up that there'll be a problem of shvitas behem. Omar Rabbi Yochanan, halacha k'ben b'seira. We paskin like ben b'seira in this. Now, this is a major source of contention. We say halacha k'ben b'seira, what does that mean? It's clear from the Rambam that he understood halacha k'ben b'seira only in the absolute sense. Namely, that when it comes to the question of a horse that's been used specifically for riding, as a human riding horse, not for hunters or for war or anything else, then halacha k'ben b'seira. But that in actuality, he paskins like the Rabbanan who argue on ben b'seira. This we see from another halacha that he paskins, namely that if somebody carries a bal chai other than a human, and you're motzi on Shabbos, you're chayav. And he doesn't see any contradiction. In other words, he's matir b'sus, but he asserts a bal chai, you see. So he obviously understood that the sugya meant halacha of ben b'seira only because we assume that the horse is used for carrying human. Basically, like the shore, we said, Marsha, I assume it's been used for something other than eating. We said yes. Okay, so I'm assuming that it's used for the thing that it's used for almost all the time, which is for people to ride on. I'm not kosher for anything else. Now, Iboilu, Shor Shel Patam, Ma. How about that there were special shvarim that were not used for anything but fattening, and they're kept in a barn, they're force-fed, and they would get a lot of money for those type of shvarim. Obviously, there's no chashash that's going to use it for doing work. I mean, that's the most ridiculous thing that you could do with them. You're spending double, triple in order to get something that's been kept from work its whole life, and why in the world would you do work for it? And our question, well, let's see what the Gemara is for. Our question would be true both on Libet Rebbe Yehuda, who is matir Bishvura, and l'chora this should be the same as Shvura, it's evident it's not going to be used for work. We still have a question here. And we even have a question on Libet Rabbanan, who aser Bishvura, and who say, well, you know, we make a blanket iser anyway, because of other uses that can be made. Tiboy Rabbi Yehuda, Hakkan lo kashay Rabbi Yehuda ela Bishvura, to lo ati l'chlal malacha. An animal that has a broken limb is not going to be used ever again for malacha. But a shorshel patam, theoretically, could be turned into a working animal by just letting it lose weight, forcing it to work, and gradually it becomes usable. So if you're going to leave it around, atzi leklal malacha, it can be used for doing work. Maybe even Rabbi Yehuda would agree that in such a case it's asur. On the other hand, we could look at it in the opposite way. We could say, maybe, O Dilma, afilu l'rabbanan, even according to the rabbanan who asur shvura, because over there they people will see it in your house, because perhaps you'll leave it for reproductive purposes, and therefore they may make a mistake. That's because the stame lav l'shvita kaima, because it's certainly an animal like that is not in the best of shape. So it's not something sold to eat. If you hold that it's usable for having children, so then that's what it's going to be left there for, and the male of people will see it around, and they're going to come to the conclusion that it's okay to sell an animal to a guy, and therefore it would all be included in one big gazer. But Ashenkin over here, this is a particular type of animal. And as a particular type of animal that's being force-fed and used specifically for eating purposes, everybody's figure, I'm selling it, obviously. I'm selling it stame l'shvita. The whole point over here is that it's stam l'shvita. Now, Tosis points out that the truth is you don't even need to come on to this, that it's stam, and this is the ultimate case of stam l'shvita, because it's a fattened animal. We said before that if you don't have any indication otherwise, stam have a right to say that, why should I assume that it's anything but l'shvita? I mean, that's a favorite use of animals. So, but over here, it's mamish specifically for this person. So maybe the rabbanon would be makir. Tashma, the omer of Yehuda, omer Shmuel. Shel Beit Rabbi, hayu makrivim shor shel patam b'yomei dan. Beit Rabbi, they had a tax, and of course the nasi had to present a gift to the king on the day of, you know, the holiday, whether it's a Christmas present and so on. So they had no choice but to bring this thing. Now, they would pay on the side, bribe, $40,000, Abba Rivama, She'imati Minoto Ayoma Lamacha, not to bring the animal on that day itself, not to present it on the holiday, but to present it the next day. And after they got to agree to that, they would pay another $40,000, She'imati Minoto Chai Ela Shachut, that it shouldn't be presented alive, but should be presented only as food, and therefore it shouldn't be something that is suitable for klal. The truth is that each one of these steps, we'll see in the end, wasn't because this particular question was an iser, but because ultimately we were trying to get them to agree slowly that it shouldn't be used at all. So we don't necessarily get now the Gemara thinks that each step is important. The truth is, in the end, we just want to put this off. And then after getting them to agree to that, they spend another $40,000. She might be Mino Dokolinker, not to present it at all, just it should appear in the books that yes, the house of the Nasi sent a very valuable, nobody else what happened to it. So Mamanima, we see, so my time up, what is the reason for this? Lav Mishum Dilma Ati Lishuruye. Isn't it because that people will say that it's going to be left around, even though it's a shorshel patam, and it's got this problem of giving or selling an animal to a guy, right? Ah, come on. Well, I mean, why would that be right? Well, I mean, shame akubino to ayun. What about the fact that they're spending money that it shouldn't be today, it should be tomorrow? I mean, that's also so important. Rebbe Miyaka Milsaboy, Rebbe simply wanted this to be undone totally. I'll take care of it little piece by piece. And therefore, so he wants, therefore, to be okeret purta purta, in order that it shouldn't be that it was known that he bechlal gave anything like that. But it's not because there's really a chashash that he thought they were going to be leaving it around. They wouldn't have left it around, and they would have shefted it anyway. But the point is, he wanted it undone, so he pretended each piece bothered him. But it's not that it truly bothers. Now, are you telling me that a shorshel patam can be used for work, and a boiled shor like that that's been sitting there full of fat, you're ever going to get any good work out of it? The chimashi, right? Bori v'avid melacha, it's going to get strong and do work. Om Ravashi. Absolutely. Oh, my Zvida. You know, I was told by Zvida, who's a professional patam, that Bartura, a shorshel patam, you can leave it around mashingly, and v'avid al-chatrin, it'll end up being more, twice as powerful as a normal shor. So you think you're messing up the shor, but this very high quality nourishment early on, if you turn it into muscle, it's going to be very usable.
Look, the Heilige Mishnah.
Ein bochrim lahem dubim ba'arayot. You do not sell bears and lions or kol davar sheyesh bo nezek rabim, or any type of thing which can cause damage to the public. Ein bonim imahem basiliki, nor do you build a basiliki, basilica is a basilica, obviously, and at this point now, we're putting it together in as one of a group, basiliki, gardom, itstadia, so anything which is used for hurting people. So the basilica they would use for a place to throw people off, you know, if they're stoning them. Or the gardom, of course, it's where they would guillotine people. Or the stadium, it would be the place in which they would, you know, they would have the gladiators fight the animals and so on. Ubima. Now, this bima is also used, as Rashi, as a place where it's like a stage where they would kill people or, you know, throw people off and so on. What's that? Yeah, a place for a gallows or, you know, I mean, Rashi is to push them off. But maybe it means to push them off while their necks are attached to something else. So, avoboni mimahem. Now, there's two girsos here. Rashi Gersa is bonim imahem bimosio, and a bimosio, Rashi says, in French is an altar, and it is, he describes it as an altar, and he says the reason that you would be allowed to build an altar is because it's only a tashmish for a tashmish. So as if it was a tashmish for the Avodah Zarah itself, let's say it would be a bait on which you would put the Avodah Zarah, tashmish Avodah Zarah. But since over here, right? Since over here the altar is used to put down something which will then itself be brought for Avodah Zarah, so it's called a tashmish of a tashmish. And therefore it's mutter. Now it's very interesting. Most of the posts, including Shulchan Aruch, brings la halacha Rashi's pshat, that it is mutter, and according to that it would be mutter to build a church, because the altar itself. You can build. You just can't build a place, the niche where they have the actual idol or whatever. But you would be allowed to actually build a church. Now, Tosis is very upset with this approach of Rashi. And he has another gersa, which is demosiot. And demosiot are actually bathhouses. Basically, it's a bathhouse where they would always put decorative Avodah Zarahs in the bathhouse. We'll see later on. There's the Aphrodite and the, you know, bathhouses. So, but he says, how could we build an altar in a church? And if the whole... But we're supposed to be running around the world tearing down these buildings and being okay with it. I mean, it's all very nice to say in terms of the dinim of sales to Avodah Zarah. That's what we're talking about over here. I mean, we're talking about something that is so mechuar. It's the opposite of our taklis. And because of that, many are indeed makbid, even though the psak is actually technically like Christ. But many are makbid, have been very makbid through the Doris, not to get involved in building church. As a matter of fact, there's a famous tshuva of Rav Meisha to an architect who was offered a very fine and lucrative a commission to design a church in New York, and he paskened that it's mechuar, the person should be misrachet from or that. I mean, certainly it's mudra. I mean, because I mean, here it's not even you're being Isaac in the binyan. I mean, you're being Isaac in the planning, which then they can decide if they want to use it for the binyan and so on. But he said, look, you know, I mean, if you're very poor, you need the commission badly. The Muslim was absent, you can rely on it. But he brought all of the shitas that that were very discouraging about relying on the Shulchan Aruch. To what?
There was some Israeli guy that I didn't see, and I heard of that. They built looks kind of like white walkway bridge, 4 inches under their car.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, to walk on the water. Probably not. That's a tourist trap.
Now you're proud of me, that's the Lord. Those are the people who will buy Bible bread. The Hebrews didn't have time to let the bread rise. They had to flavor it with hot and garlic. And it's the authentic bread that they ate when they were...
Yeah, I heard about that. So you can build the Bimosiot and the Beit HaMerchatzah. But when you get to the point where you have the actual place that you're inserting the Aphrodite or whatever they had there, that you can't build. Om Rav Chanan Bar Rav Chisda. So Rav Chanan Bar Rav Chisda said, as some say it was Rav Chanan Bar Rava, quoting Rav, that the Chayav Gasa has a din of the Behemah Dakah Lefirchus, Avolola Mechira. Now, let's just get a little better. background about the din of birkus is halacha that's only important in a very particular case where an animal is dangerously ill. And then, if you shech such an animal, there's always a chashash that the animal died before the shechita was complete. The way that we established that that wasn't the case is if the animal moves a limb after the shechita. Now, the difference, however, is between a behema gasa and a behema daka. If it's a behema daka, it's normal in relaxing its muscles after death to move a limb. But by a behema gasa, it's not. So in order to establish that a behema daka was alive, even though it was misukenet, it would need not only to relax its muscles, but it would need then to bring its limb back in and contract the muscle. Ashenkin, by behema gasa, a relaxation of a muscle is sufficient. Now, here we're coming along to say that when it comes to that din of pirkos, a chaya is different than a behema, and therefore in order to establish that something is dead, you can't establish that it was alive by pirkos of just the, you can establish that it's like a behema dakas, you can't establish that it was alive unless it was mefarches afterwards. Right.
Is it okay to eat an animal?
A misukenis, as long as you know that it was, I mean, there's a, Yecheskel says, Shelo achalti basar kos miolam. I never ate that. There's a chumra not to eat it. But me, Kradin, if there's pirkos afterwards, it's mutter. So a chaya gata has been a bit aim attack, a little pirkos. When it comes to sell, then it has the same din as any other chaya. And you'd have to worry about the takana that we have, the Gabi Shabbat. Va'ani Omer, now Rav Chanan himself said, even though he quoted Rav as saying that, is I myself disagree, and I hold afla mechira, even when it comes to sale of a chaya gasa, it's no different than the sale of a behima daka. And therefore, makom shenagulim kor mochrim, if the minig is to sell, and there's no problem of using the animal for immoral purposes, you could sell. Shalolin kar in mochrim. If there's minhages to not to sell, then you don't sell, just like any other behema. Not ein mochrim lam dubim va'arayot. Now wait a second. Our Mishnah discusses, in fact, echaya dasa, dubim and arayot. And it says over here, you can't sell them bears and lions, oh my. Nor anything else that is dangerous to the public. Now you see that the only problem over here is that it's dangerous for the public. Suppose it wouldn't be dangerous for the public. So then you're left with a chaya gasa, and the Mishnah seems to imply it's perfectly all right to sell them a chaya gasa. So mashva taima to eat the nezik l'rabim. The only problem over here is that it can hurt the public. Not for that. Now let the nezik l'rabim shari. You see that it is mutar, and that seems to be an indication that Rav Chanan is right and that Rav is wrong in saying that they're different than behema daka when it comes to mechira. Amar Rabba Bar Ula, who's to say that we're talking here about a chaya gasa that is whole? Maybe we're talking about an Ari Shavur. And it's going according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rav Ashi says that even better. Rav Ashi says, what do you mean an Ari Shavur? An Ari is by definition Shavur. In terms of Malacha, I mean, what are you going to do? You're going to hook him up to your wagon? What exactly are you going to do with a lion? So how could it be doing Malacha anyways? In other words, if you hold, I'll leave it to Rabbi Yehuda, then something that is Shavur, it's clearly Shavur, and there's no Gezerah on it, so everybody understands it can't be used for work. So then, you should say that selling a lion or a bear, if it wouldn't be that it's dangerous, there's what problem is there? It's certainly not going to be used for doing malacha. This is the way Rashi learns. It's only Aliba to Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rav Ashi. So it says, even according to the Rabbanan, it should be mutter. Because the Rabbanan only asked the case of Shavura, because the guy could think, someone who sees it could think, ah, but he might have sold it to him when it was Shlema. But in this case, it didn't become a lion after he sold it to him. Obviously, he sold him a lion. So everybody understands, selling a lion is certainly not something that's going to be used for doing malacha on Shabbos, but maybe other animals I shouldn't sell them, so they're not going to come to be matir or gezer. Meisvet, shame she'ein mochrim lehem behimagasa, kach ein mochrim lehem b'chayagasa. On the other hand, the Brisa says, you cannot sell a chayagasa. And even if the minute is, so in order to make sure you don't think that the reason we're saying you can't sell a chaya gasa is because of the same reason you can't sell a behema daka, because it may be used for immoral purposes. Over here, even in a place where you could sell a behema daka, but you would not be allowed to sell a chaya gasa. In Mokrim Lehem. So you see from there that Rav is absolutely correct and that a chaya gasa has the same din as a behema gasa. To Yufta the Rav Chanan Bar Rava, to you. That indeed shows that the Rav Hanan who claimed that a Chaya Gatz was the same as a Behema Daka is wrong when it comes to Mephir. Ravina came to this in another way. What he did is he pointed out that the Mishnah and the Braisa are contradictory. Of course, this is another way of looking at the whole thing. The Mishnah says, on the one hand, Snan, Ein mochrim lem dubim va'arayot v'lo kol davar sheyesh bo nezek v'rabim. Says you mustn't sell them bears or lions or anything that is dangerous to the public. Which implies that that's the only problem. Ta'ama de'it be nezek. Halet be nezek mochrim. That if there would be nothing damaging or nothing dangerous about this large animal, then it would be okay to sell it. And he asks, well, what about the Braisa? Ramini, does it not say in the Braisa that kishem she'ein mochrim be'magasa, kach ein mochrim chayagasa? Doesn't it say that it's exactly the same iser to sell a chayagasa as it is to sell a be'magasa? And afil b'makom she'mochrim be'imadaka, even if it's a place where there's no chashash on wrong use of the animal, but a chayagasa is still not allowed to be sold, even if I could sell a behema daka, which of course is another way of presenting the problem that we just presented to Rav Chani. And he answered it, Umishani ba'ari shavur. His initial answer was, as we originally answered, it might be talking in our Mishnah that something dangerous, even if there would be other heterim, is what it means, such as it's broken. Ravashi said the same thing on this. What do you mean? It doesn't have to be broken. Any lion is by definition broken in terms of doing work. So, stamari shavurhu etzel milakha. Matkifla Renachman. Renachman attacked this entire question by saying a very interesting thing. Who is to say that a lion is a chaya gasa? Maybe a lion is included in a smaller type of chaya. Maybe it's a chaya daka. Huh? No, when it comes to chayot, there are very large animals. Certainly a lion is not a particularly large animal. So, man leimalandari chaya gasai. Duma chaya dakai. I mean, you know, it's not as if we have set, I mean, when it comes to behemoth, we know exactly what we mean by behema daka, behema gas. I mean, it's not as if this is much of an issue in practical terms, that somebody should have written, you know, the statutes of what's considered to be a daka or a gas when it comes to a chaya. So maybe Enochinami, that maybe that's what we should learn from the Mishnah. That the Mishnah is essentially telling us that a chaya is a lion is a chaya daka. And that a bear is a chaya daka.
The lions that live with the small lions, that's all.
They're not very large animals. Yeah. Also, I mean, we compared to some of the really large animals, and most of the animals that they would see were pretty small.
Which would be the ones that
they're large? Rav Ashi dayek matnitin umotif tiyufta. Now, Rav Ashi, he went ahead and he asked directly from the Mishnah, and he said like this, okay, now again, taima, to eat bein nezek, halet bein nezek mochrim. Now note that it also, the Mishnah seems to be stressing dubim va'arayot. Now there's got to be a reason for that, because, I mean, why not tell me the din of other chayot? So, itaima is dafka because it's an ari. Tistam ari shavur hu etzel malacha. It's because that it's an ari that's why the only problem is that it's something that's going to be goring nezek, right? But if it was something other than Avi, Avamidi Achrina, the Avid Milacha, lo. If it would be something that would be capable of doing Milacha, so then we wouldn't have said that the determining factor is Sheyesh Bo Nezek Rabbi. So in other words, let's say we have a trained lion, which is not Tanari Tarbu, as it's known in the Gemara. So it wouldn't be Garam Nezek Barabi. Okay, so then it would be Mutter. But that's only because it's a lion. But if it would be something that wasn't broken, so to speak, in terms of Malacha, and of course this is Rav Ashi's approach all along, that a lion has no connection to this Takana at all, because nobody is going to see it as being something used for Malacha. So Mashma, that something else that could be used for Malacha, would not be included in this heter, and that it's usher to sell it the same way it would be usher to sell Richie. Tiyufta de Reb Chanin bar Rava Tiyufta, and he therefore came directly from the Mishnah to a Tiyufta on Reb Chanin bar Rava, from the very fact that the Mishnah stresses dafka lions and bears. So. What are you referring to when I'm like, we have this vision of an elephant, you know, being used for plowing your field? It's a strange vision. What are you talking about? What? Okay. Chaya Gatz.
Chaya Gatz.
Chaya Gatsa Miyad My Malacha Avda. What is the malacha that is done by a Chaya Gatsa that you're referring to? Omer Abaye, Omer Lima Yehuda, Le Mayuchani, Tachne Rechayim Be'arudi. They use Arudim, which are like wild asses, I think they're called.
Onagers.
What are they called?
Onagers.
Yeah. Okay. We have them. Onagers.
They're all around the
okay. So they, I'm told that they actually hook up these things.
It's not a good picture.
The
tails are much shorter.
Okay, so they hook up onagers to the. So that was probably an arud that I saw there around. They're filling the chula? Do they run around wild there? In that new place, not the actual chula. They're restoring the wetland. I saw like a whole herd of it. Yeah, I mean, I heard like three or four. So maybe. I thought they were like donkeys, but. Maybe they were already. So they used them to hook up to a grinder. So that would be considered to be a on Shabbos, obviously. Omer Rebbe Zera. Rebbe Zera says, you know, when I visited Rebbe Yehuda, he told me the following. He said, Gemira Minai Amilos, I want you to learn the following from me because I was makabel this from a very great man, the Migavra Rabba Shmieli. But I must tell you that I can't remember which great man it was because I was a Talmud both by Rav and by Shmuel. And I don't remember whether I heard this from Rav or from Shmuel, but definitely it was somebody very important. And this is what he said. He said, Chaya gasa arei kibeima dakala firchus. So then when it comes to the question of firchus, you should know that that is definite. It has the same thing as a beima daka, and you need to have it move its limb and contract the muscle in. When I came to the town of Kukunia, I found Rav Chiya Bar Ashi, and he was sitting in the Beis HaMedrash, and he said that, I just happened to walk in, and he was quoting Shmuel as the source for that aloha. He said in the name of Shmuel, so I decided, now I know. So apparently this indeed had been said by Shmuel. Can't wait to let Rav Yehuda know who he heard it from. He heard it from Shmuel. But then I came to Surah. And in Surah I walk in and I find Rav Bar Yirmi, and guess what he's talking about? He's quoting Rav as saying, Chaya Gasa Reiki Behima Dakala Pirchas. Then I said, oh ho, no wonder he got mixed up. So Shmamina Yitma Mishmeda Rav, the Yitma Mishmeda Shmuel. Apparently it was taught by both. And when Rav Yehuda said, I remember it, but I can't remember. He indeed remembered it from both of them. When I went to Eretz Yisrael, Rav Asi, I found Rav Asi sitting and quoting Rav Chama Bar Gurya as quoting Rav. Now, of course, I had heard Rabba Bar Yirmiya as being the one who was quoting Rav, but he was quoting Rav Chama Bar Gurya, who was saying that Chaya Gatsa Reit Bei Medakla Pirchus. And I told him, I was sort of getting a feeling that maybe my life has something to do with this sugya. But anyway, I told him that Velo Savala Mar Deman Mar Veshmaitza Rabba Bar Yirmiya. You're quoting this in the name of Rav Chama Bar Gurya. I'm certain. I mean, I myself visited Surah and heard Rabba Bar Yirmiya taking responsibility for that Shmua of Rav, and it should be quoted in his name, I think. Omar Leis, and he told me, Pat Yeruchma, hey, listen here, black pot. Minayu minachtistayim shmaitata. They didn't only call them, in those days, they didn't call them black hats. They called them black pot. Right? Rashi says that's why they call them black, yeah, because some Talmidei Chachamim walk around like slobs and look at where the black suits all day long. Yeah. But others learn why it was Reb Zera Dafk. We don't find everybody called Pat Yeruchma. Reb Zera was the one who fasted the Ta'anesim when he came up from Bavel to forget all of Talmud Bavli. So he it was Hushchurupanov. He became very, he looked terrible because of all of these ta'aniyot that he had kept. So they called him the Pat Yeruchma in honor of his efforts to start learning in Eretz Yisrael afresh. So anyway, so he told me, Pat Yeruchma, minayu minachtistayim shmaitata. Between the two of us, we're going to get this straight. And indeed we see that in later years, that's how it was quoted, Itmar Nami Omrev Izeira, Omrev Asi, of course, I would use the one that was saying, Omrev Asi, Omar Rabba Bar Yirmiya, Omer Rav Chama Bar Gurya. Rav Chama Bar Gurya was the one the Rav Asi had quoted originally. That indeed, Rabba Bar Yirmiya had gotten it originally from Rav Chama Bar Gurya. And that's what Rav Asi was quoting Rav Chama Bar Gurya. Omar Rav, Chaya Gatsa Rekibay Medakala Pir. Because now we have the whole yichus of this Shmua going all the way back here.
Only Rav, but not Shmuel.
Yeah, this part of it. Yeah, the Shmuel was somebody else. In Bonim. He did, but that was not the Shmua. Omar Rabba Barbarchan, Omar Rabbi Yochanan, Shalosh Basilika Otein. We have three types of basilikas that are Nogel Halacha. There's the Shalmalche of the Kochavim. There's the ones that are put up in honor of the kings, and they would often put in Avodah Zarah there, and they held themselves the divinely, the ruling by divine right. And then there's the Shalmer Chatzaot, where they always put up an Aphrodite or something. And then there's Shel Otsarot, so to store the various valuable things, which of course include all types of art objects and so on. They also make these basilicas, and a basilica is like a well-protected fort kind of thing, that some of them are like, yes, sir, and some of them I had to, says Rava.
Treasure?
Yeah, a treasure house, a well-protected treasure house. Well, my Rava, Shtayim Leheter Ve'echad Le'isu. Two of these are okay to build. One of them is also to build, and I'll give you a simon to remember. Le'esor malkehem bezikim. So that's le'esor, the ones that are built for the malachim, because those definitely are used for bad things. They kill people there, they poskin on them, the chayav misa. I mean, you don't want to get involved with anything that happens. Not for Avodah Zarah, but because of the danger to the rabbim. We don't support them in their we're gonna end up really being dokalt. Yikidi Amri, others say that Amar Rava Kulamahet. There's actually no issue in building a basilica at all. What? The Mishnah said basilica. It says Hatzan Ein Bonim Imahem Basiliki Gardom Itstadia Ubima. No, that's a misreading of the Mishnah. It's a basilica gardom, is what it's saying. A basilica of a gardom, or of the Itstadia, or of the Bima. That's the point, because over there, in fact, either it uses it for the place where you essentially, you know, the little domed part where you put in the actual Avodah Zarah, that you can't build with them. You may build the rest of it. Tana Rabbana, Kishen Nitvatz Rabbi Eliezer Leminut, Eleu Legardom Lidon. Now, it's two very different approaches over here, and Rashi's approach does not work out very well in the sugya. There's a lot of problems with it. He learned that they were tofes him in order to force him to worship Avodah Zarah, again, to convert to Christianity or something. From the Rabbeinu Chananel, it's clear that it's the other way around, that this was during the Roman repression of Christianity, and someone claimed that he was a hidden Christian, and they were trying to be done him. And that fits in much, much better in the sugya. And the truth is that there's some who said there was a lot of censorship of this particular keta because of the, we'll see the way that it's brought, that it's really, it's like insulting in terms of the merchak that we wanted to keep from these people.
Right.
So,
these were like, he was mostly to be a Jew, but it was also to be a Christian.
Yes, that's the fact. So, Amalo Oto Hegemon, so the Hegemon said to him, you know, I'm really surprised. Zaken shekemotcha yasok bedvorim b'teilim halalo. And this is absolutely sick. Actually, the Samsir Rabbeinu Chananel was changed. He says shtei rishuyot, but there's those who bring that the original gears were shalosh rishuyot. So, anyway, just, I mean, how can you get involved in such stupidity? Oh, Marlo, so he said to him, ne'man alai hadaya, meaning the dayan ha'emet. Listen, what am I going to sit here and argue with you? I accept whatever the dayan said. Kosovar otor hegemon, alavu omers. Hegemon thought that he's accepting him, that he trusts his judgment completely, and he's not going to argue the case. So he said to him, and his kavana actually was, so he says to him, well, if you're that kind of man, then I pronounce Demos. Demos means Rachamim, the name of the Lord, and you're free. So, Yishabala Beito, probably. Yishabala Beito, the Gemara always uses Demos. Nitlis Talmidav Etzul Nachamo. His Talmidim came to be Menachem him. Now again, according to the Rabbi Nochananel, to be Menachem him, that he should have even been Nechshad, that people could possibly think that he was a Christian. How could such a thing happen? Which ties in very well into the Sugya. I mean, the way Rashi is learning, it refers to the fact that they looked at him, and Rashi learns Demos is the name of an Avodas Kochavim, which is very different. So many places in which Demos is simply used for your cotton, it's an act of pardon. Yeah, it's a pardon. Right. So anyway, he was very upset. And he wouldn't be makabel of tatkulik. He did not understand what did I do that they should think that I'm a min, or that they should be maskil the shame of avodas kechab and think that I was referring to him. And Omar lo Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi, tasheni lomar davar echad mimashu imedetani. If you don't mind, I would say something that I learned from you. Omar lo emor, tell me. Omar lo Rabbi. Shema minut bal yadcha v'hana'acha. Maybe there was some dvar minut that you heard and enjoyed, and because of that, you became close to them in your mind. The alav nitfasta, and because of that, you were viewed as one of them. Omar lo, oi, hiva yiskartani. You reminded me of something that pam achat hayiti ma'alech b'shuk ha'yon shal Tzipori. You know, I was once walking in the upper shuk in Tzipori, and I meet this guy, matzati echad, the Yaakov ish kfar tzachinaya shmo. This guy is a Christian, and he tells me, you know, it says in the Old Testament, katuv b'torabchem lo tavi etnan zona, that you mustn't use an etnan zona beit Hashem elokeh. So I wanted to know. Okay, so he took that out. I said this is a very heavily censored. All right, so I found one of Yoshka's Talmidim. If there's anything else that you want to add in, and he said, it says in the Old Testament, don't bring a harlot fire to the house of God. What I want to know is, when you say the house of God, could you use it for a toilet bowl to make the toilet for the Kohen Gadol, or is that also the house of God? And I didn't answer. That's stupid. I just ignored it. Omar Lee, so he said, well, I'll tell you a nice shot I heard in seminary. Kachlim Dan. Ki miet nan zonak. Okay, that makes sense. So he told me that Yashke Pipik gave me a beautiful shot in it. And he said, it says in Mika, ki miet nan zonak of tzal, viad etnan zonak yashuvu. It came from an etnan zonak. Let it go back to an etnan zonak. And he said the pshat was, it came from a filthy place, put it back in a filthy place. It's perfect use for it to make it a toilet bowl. So, mimakom atinofet bowl, mimakom atinofet yelechu. And I must say, I really enjoyed that one. Behenyani! And I really chapped enough from that shot. I thought, you know, maybe this Yeshu guy's got some good character after all. And ayadei zeh, itpasti leminut, apparently, that's the reason. That's what happened over here. Vavarti al mashikatu v'atorah, harchek mi'alea darkecha, this refers to minut. Ve'al tikrav al petach beita, this refers to the government or to authority. Don't do anything bad that is going to get you close to them, because in the end they're going to destroy it. Well, tomorrow we'll discuss the other implications of that pasuk and the actual distance. So
I got to stop listening to people.